Father, we pray that as we come to your word, that by your spirit you would help us to hear your voice. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage where we need encouraging. You would correct where we need correcting. But most of all, Lord, we pray that you would use your word this morning to equip us and train us for righteousness. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, we're just spending these last few weeks of the third term thinking about our identity as God's treasured possession. To think through our privileged position as those who are his special possession and what that means for us, not just in terms of our identity, but what that means for us in terms of how we live and act. It's based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It was the call to worship this morning. Just to remind you of it afresh, and this is the passage that would be helpful if you kept in front of you as I speak this morning. 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. We saw last week that this speaks to us as belonging to God. Once you weren't his people, now you are the people of God. We are his people. That's our identity, and that's what defines our purpose. It's important that we know who we are, more importantly, whose we are, so that we will know how to live, what we should do. This morning, I want us to look at that little phrase that starts verse 9, but you are a chosen race. Now, it's probably worth saying right up front that if you've got an NIV in front of you, if you use the NIV translation, yours will say, but you are a chosen people. I chose the ESV text this morning because it's actually more accurate. The original language is not the word laos, people. It is the word genos, our origins, our race. Now, did you notice the minister said that word? He said race. Of course, immediately we use that term race, and some of us will get nervous, especially given the context of our country and the history of our country. If truth be told, many of us would rather not discuss race or anything related to it, especially not at church. That's not why we come to church, Luke. Isn't that what we feel like saying? And yet we must. We must talk about it, and we must talk about it not because society talks about it. We must talk about it because God talks about it. We must talk about it because it's in the scriptures, and we want to make sure we have a good biblical understanding about what God says when it comes to understanding race. And this, I hope, won't shock you, but it might. You see, in the Bible, when the scriptures speak about race, they always speak about only one race. Only one race. It's the created race. It's why we spoke from Genesis chapter 1 earlier, why we read that passage this morning. It reminds us that our origins and our beginnings find themselves with God in the garden when he created Adam and Eve, male and female, in his image and likeness. In Acts chapter 17, we read this verse in verse 26. From one man God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God created, not us, God. And God created all the nations, every last one of them, without exception. And he made all of those nations from one man, Adam. That means that every single human being on this planet has the same ancestry and is from the same species. Every single human being, whether we are male or female, or whether in the Old Testament context we are Egyptian or Israelite, in the New Testament context whether we are Jew or Gentile, or in the South African context where we are Springbok or All Black, we are made by God. We are made by God, and we are in God's image. No exception. Not even Australians. They too are part of the created race. Which means our common ancestry means that you and I actually have far more in common than we often acknowledge. Way more. See, as you look around the room, some of us, well, actually, if truth be told, in this church, a lot of us are the same, aren't we? But if we look in our country and we see the diversity and we see the differences, our assumption is that we're way different. But here's the thing. We're actually more alike than we acknowledge. Way more alike. We have a common ancestor. I know I'm a young person and you recognize that. And we look at, but if you had to trace my genealogy back, so look beyond just me, I look to my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather, my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, my great, you're wondering how long can you go on for? But I want you to imagine the great-great-great-great-great-great-great, go all the way back. And then do that for yourself. And then do that for the person sitting next to you. And then do that for your colleague at work. And do that for your neighbor in another country. Here's the thing that you'll discover. When you trace it far enough back, do you know where you land up? You land up at Adam and Eve. From one man, God made all the nations. From one man. Now, let's just be clear. That's not to deny our diversity. The Bible recognizes diversity. In fact, it uses the word that we get the word ethnicity from. It's the word ethne. It's often translated in the scriptures as the word nations. That's that word up there, all the nations. We are diverse. There are diverse ethnicities. There are diverse nations in the world. Some of the diversity is actually a consequence and a judgment because of sin. Remember Genesis chapter 11? Remember when they all came together as one people, one language, and they thought they would be better than God and be like God, and they'd build a tower to honor their name, and part of the judgment that God puts on them is he confuses their one language, their common speech, and he scatters them through the world. And so some diversity is a consequence of sin because God judged it. Some of our diversity is based on geography. Where we are from. It's why the English people are always so lily white, because they never see the sun. See, they don't need to protect their skins. It's why when you go into certain parts of Africa, people are darker because they need to protect their skins. It's based on our geography, where we are from. Others can be from our ancestry, who we are from. And so there is diversity. And that diversity may be reflected in superficial physical appearances. It might be evident in different social practices that we would often call culture. But we're still one created race. From one man, God made all the nations. But in our sin and our sinfulness, we've tended to emphasize diversity, ethnicity, at the expense of equality, race. And we've elevated one over the other. And if truth be told, what we've done is in order to elevate our ethnicity, we've devalued others in favor of self. Well, can I remind you afresh this morning that God does not do that. And the Bible does not do that. Now, the Bible emphasizes as a created race our equality, not our ethnicity. Our equality, not our ethnicity. I'm hope you know this, but it's worth articulating that no one is better than any other in terms of worth or value or dignity. If we are created by God, then we are created in His image and likeness, and we all deserve to be treated with respect and kindness, irrespective of our ethnicity. We come from a country that has got this wrong over the years. And there's a terrible legacy because we have abused it and misused this understanding. And so it might be that some of us here today need to be transformed in our thinking. And we may need to be transformed in our actions. You see, when we understand that we all come from one man, well then where is there room for supremacy? And so for some of us, this will speak to our perceived supremacy. I once worked in a church in England. Part of our evangelism is we'd meet up with people and we'd say, well, why do you think you'll go to heaven? And invariably they'd say, well, because they're nice, because they're sweet, because they're good people. My favorite was when they used to say, because we are Anglicans. See, apparently that's a default. You become an Anglican, you go straight to heaven, do not pass begin. But here was my favorite one. My favorite one was when I spoke to somebody, I said, tell me, why do you think one day you will go to heaven? And she turned around to me and she said to me, because I'm British. See, her ethnicity was going to get her into heaven. Boy, did she get upset with me when I told her the truth. See, some people think because of their ethnicity, they have superiority. Well, that cannot be true if God made from one man all the nations. And so it might be that some of us here today think that we are better than others because of our ethnicity. Well, can I say to you lovingly, stop it. Stop it. Change your heart. Guard your heart. Of course, the opposite is also true, especially in our country. And that is, we've created a whole group of people who have a perceived inferiority because of the way they've been treated. And not only do we need to say to them, we're sorry, we actually also want to lovingly say to them, stop it. Stop thinking of yourself less. Stop thinking of yourself second class. Now, you are God's creation, made in His image and likeness. You have value and you have significance. You are God's creation. And we've got to remember that. And here's the great news. The great news is when we understand our true identity as God's created people, it sets us free to discover the differences, to enjoy the differences, to embrace the differences, to see diversity as part of the beauty and wonder of God's good creation. I don't want to put you on the spot this morning, but can I ask you, is anybody here born somewhere other than South Africa? Don't be shy, put your hand up. I'll put my hand up because I'm born somewhere other than South Africa. Anywhere other than Africa. Anywhere other than America. No, I'm not talking those people who had their hands up. Now, it's quite interesting because you know, we live in a country that's got multiple ethnicities and multiple nationalities, and yet actually we have a very small mix here, don't we? Something we probably need to be thinking through. How will we reach out to the created order with value and dignity, but who aren't sharing our ethnicity? What will that look like for us? I think it would be really exciting if we discovered the unique habits. My dad was British. Mushy peas. I'm with you. Yuck. He loved mushy peas. I think part of my British heritage is I love baked beans. But I know the Lumbee girls don't. They don't. I know the Giles boys don't either. And my guess is, looked on many of your faces, there's a whole bunch of you. I don't know if that's part of my British heritage. See, our ethnicity gives us diversity, but it doesn't give us superiority. We've got to learn to emphasize equality, not ethnicity. Now, of course, some of you is very clever, and some of you are saying, but Luke, the passage you read this morning seemed to say something different. Because the word in the text for this morning wasn't the created race, it was actually the word, the chosen race. So let's come back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because here he reminds us that yes, within the created race, Peter identifies a group of people who he says, but you are a chosen race. What's very important to pick up is that in this passage, Peter is not making a physical distinction, but a spiritual one. It's not a physical distinction to do with our ethnicity. It is a spiritual distinction to do with our salvation. See, when he speaks about the chosen race here, what Peter's doing is he's talking about God's sovereign grace in election. That within the created race, God has chosen some sinners to be redeemed, some sinners to be ransomed by Jesus, to be God's own people, to be a chosen race. So within the created race, he takes a people for himself. In his unfathomable mystery, God calls them out of darkness into his wonderful light. He saves them from death, and he brings them to life. He takes those who were once far off, and he draws them close to himself. And so within the created race, believers reflect a distinct and unique chosen race. Chosen not by a covenant of law, but the covenant of grace. A chosen race not because of our choice of God, but because of God's choice of us. not because of our ethnicity, our ancestry, or our geography, but because of Jesus Christ, who we come to. And so here's the thing to understand today. If you are a Christian here, a human Christian, you are doubly blessed. Because you're blessed bearing the image and likeness of God, you are part of the created race. But you are blessed because you are a people of God, a chosen race. Friends, that is our privileged identity. Of all the people God could have, He chose you. Isn't that exciting? Of all the people He could have called to Himself, He called you. You know there's 7 billion people in this planet? There's a lot of choice. And yet in His grace and in His mercy, He looked at you, if you're a Christian here today, and He said, I want you. I want you. I want you to belong to me, my treasured possession, special possession. I want you to be part of my chosen race. Of course, we've got to be humble about that. There can be no boasting, because it wasn't about us. Because I think sometimes we do that, don't we? Sometimes we want to pat ourselves on the back and we say something like, isn't God lucky to have someone like me in His church? Well, that would be true if you did anything to get here. Excuse me. But you didn't do anything. It wasn't because you chose God. It was because He chose you. It wasn't because of you. It was because of Him. He did it. That's why in the Scriptures, we're not only called to be humble when it comes to our salvation, we are called to be thankful, to recognize it was none of us and all of Him. It was His grace. It was His mercy. It was His Son who paid the sacrifice. This is all of Him and none of us. Our only response is that of gratitude, humble gratitude, hearts overflowing with thankfulness, and that, I think, will grow itself into worship. See, worship is us recognizing it's none of us and all of Him. And so we don't try to take any of the glory for ourselves. We seek to give all the glory to Him. Remember, we saw that in the Reformation, didn't we? Glory to God alone. That's what worship is. It's when we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That's what we want to do. See, in all the world, God has called to Himself a people who will be His own, a chosen race. And the incredible thing is God includes every ethnicity in His choosing. Just let that wash over you for a moment. Because if you happen to think that when you go to heaven it's going to be all British people there, you're going to be disappointed. If when you get to heaven you think they're going to be all English people there, you're going to be disappointed. If you think they're all going to braai on a Sunday, you're going to be disappointed. No, because God has called into His chosen race every ethnicity in the world. He wants His chosen race to reflect the richness and the diversity of His creation. And can I just tell you, it was like that from the very beginning. So in Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Abraham and says, through you I'm going to bring blessing and salvation, who does He say it to? I'm going to bring blessing and salvation to your family. No, that's not what He says. I'm going to bring I'm going to bring blessing and salvation to Israel. No. Now go and look at Genesis chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. Here's what He says is, I'm going to bless all the nations through you. God's plan of salvation right from the very start was to include people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. That's why when Jesus finally comes into the world in Luke chapter 2, remember there's that scene at the temple where Simeon holds the little baby and gives thanks to God. And in his song, here's what he sings. He sings thankfulness that the light of salvation has dawned on the nations. On the nations. I think at the end of Matthew 28, when Jesus sends out the disciples into the world, He doesn't say, go make disciples just of these people in Jerusalem. He says, no, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Why? Because He wants you to go into all the world, making disciples of all nations. When the gospel comes, when the Spirit comes, at Acts chapter 2, at Pentecost, remember people from every nation hear the gospel in their language. And if we jump ahead to the very end, here's what we'll see, Revelation chapter 7, we will see a great multitude that no one can count from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Isn't that exciting? The day will come where every ethnicity will one day be gathered to fully reflect the wonder and the beauty of the created race. Jesus was, is, and always will be for every nation. Every nation. It's one of the reasons why we should preach the gospel faithfully. Because God has got a heart for the lost. God has got a heart for the world. And so should we. Karen Jobs, in her commentary on this passage, helpfully says, when we understand this, then we'll understand that the gospel properly understood and applied is the foundational cure for all the evils of racism in human society, in whatever form it takes. Can I lovingly say to you, what the country that we live in needs is not more politics. What they need is more gospel. They need more gospel. Because it's the gospel that transforms hearts. It's the gospel that changes the way we think. It's the gospel that says we're one created race with value and dignity, and we must call them into the kingdom. See, the thing that defines us in this world is actually our election, not our ethnicity. And in fact, in the scriptures, the only distinction we're ever called to make when it comes to other humans is whether they're believers or unbelievers. That's the distinction we make. Are they redeemed or unredeemed? We make distinction based on election, not ethnicity. And so as you sit here today, what defines you is not whether you're a human. I was going to say you all are, but then I remembered the teenagers were here. But they are too, actually. They are, and we love them. And if they laugh at me when I'm skating tonight, then they'll be excommunicated. But here's the thing. We're all humans. We've got to take that as the given. That's got to be our starting point. And so the distinction can't be, are you human or not? The distinction can't be, do you have value or not? The distinction can't be, do you have significance or not? That's got to be a given if we're a human being. And the distinction has to be, do they love Jesus or not? That's the question we should be concerned with. That's the concern of our hearts. You see, I'm not defined by who I am, but whose I am. I'm not defined by where I'm from, but where I'm going. See, I'm one of God's chosen. I'm His son, and I'm hoping you are His son or daughter too. I'm His treasured possession. And dear friends, what that means is that Christians must break down the dividing walls that society is intent on putting up. We as the church must look beyond superficial differences. We must look beyond cultural distinctives. And we must see each other's intrinsic value. And we must consider the state of the heart. That's our concern, and that's our only concern. And here's the thing. See, they could be a pygmy from Pofata. And here's the thing. If they love Jesus, they are your family. They're your family. See, treat them accordingly. Love them accordingly. Serve them accordingly. Of course, and if they're not a believer, well, then the only question you really want to wrestle with is, how can I share the gospel with them? How can I share the gospel with them? See, here's the thing. Our calling as God's people is for the purpose of proclamation, not preservation. We are called to proclaim the gospel, not to preserve our culture. Yet that's what we want to do, isn't it? We so often want to preserve our culture. If truth be told, we actually want to preserve our comfort. Our comfort. I've discovered I like comfort. Nikki's family, particularly her parents, can think of nothing more exciting than climbing in their four-wheel drive and going off the road into the bush with a spade and a toilet roll. That is their most exciting holiday. I want running hot water, and I want solid porcelain to sit on. I've actually discovered I am more a five-star hotel kind of guy, because I like my comfort. I understand that about me. But here's the thing. I also like my comfort in terms of my ethnicity. I've got friends who visited Kazakhstan recently. They were offered horse, which is normal in Kazakhstan. Can you imagine eating, if you like horse riding, can you imagine going to Kazakhstan and being offered horse to eat? I was in Zambia a few years ago. They offer you kapenta and shima. Do you know what kapenta is? You know, you see those little white, gogga, fishy thingies that they dry in the sun, and then you eat them dry with this. Oh. I'm uncomfortable with that. So here's the thing. I want to stick to my comfort zone. I want to stick to my ethnicity. But here's the thing. I'm not called to remain comfortable. I come back with me to the passage. You see, we're God's chosen race. We're his people. Why? To proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. See, my job is not to remain comfortable, Luke Giles. My job is not to preserve my ethnicity, Luke Giles. No, my job is not cultural preservation, but gospel proclamation. My job is to hold out the truth that God loves the world and sent his son to die on a cross for them. And if that means I've got to eat kapenta and shema, I will eat kapenta and shema. If it means I've got to eat horse, I will eat horse, but I draw the line with a spade and a toilet roll. See, I can't let my comfort dictate my calling to proclaim the gospel. And so what we've got to rediscover is we've got to work out what will this mean for us? What will it mean for this church in our immediate context? What will it mean for us to reach the world? Can I just say we are meeting in a school that is 80% of their learnership are not white. Why are they not coming to our church on a Sunday morning? What's the issue? Have we created a false ethnicity here? A little bubble? Because we are comfortable? Or are we going to be passionate about proclaiming the gospel that we will break down dividing walls, we will sing different songs if needs be, we will have different parts of our service if needs be, we'll even stand up and clap our hands if needs be. Why? Because we want to proclaim the gospel to our community. We want to be a people who proclaim the truth to God's created race so they can hear the gospel and become part of the chosen race. You see, we start in our immediate context, our immediate ethnicity, but we've got to have a heart for the world. If one day every nation, every tribe is going to be represented, we may as well get started on that now. We may as well get started on that now. That's why we want to have a heart for global mission. It's why we want to support people who are going not just to Cape Town and not just to South Africa, but beyond those boundaries to the edge of the earth. I don't have to tell you this, but Cape Town is fast becoming a multi-ethnic hub for the world. I mean, the incredible thing is you actually don't have to go far to meet people of different cultures. You don't. Odds are they're probably coming into your home. Probably coming into your home every week, every day maybe. You're going to the office and you're meeting people with different cultures and different ethnicities. You're going to the parking lot at the shops, and I guarantee you there are people of different ethnicities there. We don't have to go far to meet people of different nationalities. And the question is, what will you do? See, will you put up a wall around yourself so you can stay safe and secure, more to the point so you can stay comfortable? Or will you get out of your comfort zone? Will you embrace people from different nations, different tribes, and different tongues that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into light? See, we've got to understand who we are so that we live accordingly. And so I want to say to us today, if you're a Christian, you're a chosen race. You're a chosen race. You've been called to God, but you've been called to him. Why? So that you can go and proclaim his gospel to the world. All the world. And my prayer is that he will help us to do that to his glory. Let's pray.